Welcome back to the INO podcast. My name is Jasmine. I am always your host. And guys, it's been a minute. It's actually been, I think, over a year now since I've given another episode. But we're going to get right into what we're talking about today. We're going to be talking about where I've been, what I've been up to, what you can expect in these next few episodes. We're also going to be talking about celebrity culture, a pastor. You guys have got to hear what he is preaching. It is wild. And then we're going to get into today's message. So buckle up, let's get into the episode. Welcome into the episode. Welcome, welcome, welcome. I am so excited to be back with you guys. It has been over a year, I'm pretty sure, since I've last been on the mic. I have missed this. I've missed you guys. I know that I said I would post earlier in the year. I'm so sorry. I actually got sick and then work. Guys, I don't know how people be doing side hustles and work, coming home, and I don't know. Pray for grace for your girl, but we were supposed to have this episode out in February. It is March, end of March. Might as well be April. But I am back. So I want to talk about where I've been, what I've been up to. I don't know about you guys, but 2023 was a really hard year for me. I was going through a lot, spiritually, emotionally, with God, just processing a lot of things, a lot of big changes in my life. And sometimes when God's pruning you and taking you into a deeper season, you kind of isolate. And one of the things was I never felt a peace to get back on the mic. Sometimes this can be a good distraction from things going on in your life. And other times the Lord really is like, I don't want any distractions. I don't want you worried about a podcast. I don't want you worried about next episode or the news or whatever the case is. I just want you to talk to me and keep your mouth shut. And so that's where I've been. That's what I've been up to. I want to remind you guys to please turn on notifications. Turn on your notifications for this show. In this season right now, I don't foresee, and I'm not the type to regularly post, because I feel like if I don't have anything to say, I'm just not gonna say anything. I know that's different than a lot of content creators. Sometimes we just push content just because. You know, maybe going forward, there will be a season of my life where I can be more consistent and push something every week, because I do love doing this. I do enjoy talking to you guys. At the same time, I do have a full-time job, a part-time job, and now this. So turn on your notifications, because I never know when I'm gonna have to pop out for a little bit and pop back in, maybe miss a week, maybe miss a month, hopefully not miss a year, but we saw what happened last year. So just a reminder, hit that bell and we can go from there. So with that, let's get on to the next portion of the episode. So we're going to talk about celebrity culture. And the reason why we're going to talk about this is because I feel like there's been so much happening with celebrities in 2023 and this year. I've heard a lot of people talk about this is going to be the year of exposure. I've even heard non-religious people say that. It's like, man, all these people are getting exposed all of a sudden. Like, nobody's safe. Everybody's under the microscope. So that's why we're talking about it. Right now, there's been the Diddy allegations. I mean, Beyonce was trending last year because people called her out for the witchcraft that they have seen in her concerts. Taylor Swift just had a big Eras tour last year, and she was full on having a seance on stage. That's crazy. T.D. Jakes had his allegations of being at Diddy's parties. Will and Jada Smith are always tripping. And most recently, the Quiet on the Set documentary has come out. And if anybody knows me, I was a big Nickelodeon fan. And I'll be honest, I could not watch it because I just knew how heavy it would be. And I just could not dive into it. But I believe what Jeanette McCurdy said years ago, that the people that she unfortunately worked for and with were creeps, did not have her best interests at heart, to say the least, let alone the abuse allegations. I did see that Drake Bell, unfortunately, was on the, I believe it was the Drake and Josh set, and said that he was assaulted on set, and it just broke my heart because these are, you know, kids, and the people around them and the parents around them didn't protect them like how their parents should or good adults should. But I do find it interesting that a lot of celebrities are getting canceled. A lot of celebrities' dirt is coming to life. I mean, I would encourage you all to, whatever you can stomach, go look at the Diddy allegations and the lawsuit. I mean, it is scathing what this man is alleged to do. I'm on the inclination that some of that's true, just because this is not the first time we've heard that Diddy has been involved in illicit activity. This is not the first time celebrities have come out and said something or hinted at something. I've even seen previous commercials that are, you know, once something comes out, things start circulating because people read into the commercials and they see, like, oh my gosh, the signs were there. And in these old commercials, I've seen him suggest sexual things to men, women, children, and it's not looking good, to say the least. That being said, I think this is all being done for a reason. I personally believe all this is coming out because, for one, I think it's never been safer to come out. With the Me Too movement, it made it, you know, I don't want to use the word comfortable, but it made it acceptable for men and women to talk about their struggles in Hollywood, their struggles on set, their issues with sexual assault and rape and all these horrible things that happen in our culture. So that has opened the door so that survivors and people who have experienced those horrible things can talk about what's happened and get those people, you know, put in jail, get those people to justice. But I also think there's a spiritual aspect to this as well. A lot of the people that I named, Beyonce, Taylor Swift, T.D. Jakes, Will and Jada Smith, Diddy, I mean, these are iconic celebrities. I mean, they've been in Hollywood for, a lot of them, over 20-something years. These are all people who would be considered icons or idols in Hollywood. And Hollywood has begun to get exposed. A lot of weird stuff happens in Hollywood. I think we all kind of knew that, but we didn't know the depths of evil that was in Hollywood. We didn't understand that a lot of these people are caught up in things that us regular folk would not even think about doing, because it's just not even a thought. Again, there's always been rumors, especially the Diddy rumors. Those have been going around for ages. But I believe this is part of the Lord's plan to show that Hollywood celebrity status is not what is to be aspired to. These celebrities are not to be looked up to as role models or people of high status. I have never understood why people hold, especially Hollywood people, in such high regard. I mean, yes, such and such is a great actor or actress, but we know nothing about their character. We know what they show us. And it makes sense that an actor or actress would be able to put on a good face for the camera because that's what they do for a living. Or even musicians, like, to an extent, these people are performers. They are able to get in front of a camera, get in front of a mic, and say the right things to stir people. So why? Because we see a few 30-second interviews through TikTok or whatever your social media platform is. Why do we hold these people in such high regard? Why is it something that we aspire to be like them? And I think it's also exposing our hearts. Because when the Beyonce thing happened and everybody, a lot of Christians were calling her out for being caught up in witchcraft, even with Taylor Swift, when you see people call them out for the witchcraft that they've done on stage, it's not even hidden. It's not even, rumors of like, oh, well, I saw her do this and I saw her do that. No, this was performed on stage in front of a live audience. And the fact that there are people who still are having issues with the calling out and like, oh, well, she's just human, or, you know, that was just a performance. That was just part of the show. You cannot be two different people in different places. You are the, that's the one thing about sin. Sin never stays where you want it to be. No matter what the sin is, sometimes we hope our secret sin can stay secret and we can compartmentalize it and that it won't leave this little room and this little area. But sin wants to spread, and it always spreads if it's not met with a repentant heart and the blood of Jesus. So even if these people were, these were just rumors, like, well, I heard that Beyonce was doing witchcraft, or I heard that Taylor Swift was doing witchcraft, the fact that it's been presented and manifested in front of you should be an indicator that if this is happening in front of me, what is going on behind the scenes? Not to mention, Christians should not glorify anything that is evil. We have celebrities who are glorifying evil like never before. So what would I advise Christians to do when they see these things trending? For one, call it out. Sometimes things get hidden now. You know, if you're Beyonce or Taylor Swift, whatever you do is going to be seen. So you still should call it out. You should call a spade, but it's not like nobody can see what these people are doing. Second, and most importantly, stop going to the concerts. Stop paying for music if you still are paying for music. Stop streaming their music because they get money for that. Stop rewarding evil. Just because you're not celebrating it, and maybe you even see it and you say it and you call it out, when you give them your money, you are rewarding it. Christians can yell, they can scream, they can shout it from the rooftops and say, this is evil, this is wrong, this is not good. But when you still reach in your wallet and give them the money, they don't care what you're saying. Unfortunately, to the world, money talks, and money talks louder than words. So what is your money saying? What are your streams saying? What is your engagements on social media saying? That's part of growing up and becoming a more mature Christian and walking closer with God in discipleship. The closer you get to God and the closer you walk with God, things have to fall off of you. Things have to move. It's one thing if a new Christian is still listening to Beyonce, is still listening to Taylor Swift, is still listening to that new rapper who Taylor Swift endorsed, Sexy Red. It's one thing if a new Christian is still indulging in that because God is still working with them. But you mean to tell me you've been a disciple for 15 years, 10 years, 30 years, and you still are listening to that kind of stuff? We have to go higher. It's not about how close we can get to sin and make it into heaven. It's how close we can get to the Lord. He is our prize and he is worth everything. He is worth giving up everything for, including the, I don't know how long a song is, about 3 minutes of relaxation or pleasure, whatever you get from an artist who does not know your name and who does not care about you, the 3 minutes of pleasure you get listening to their songs. So with that, let's go head on to the next topic. All right, so check this out. We have a pastor in Washington. I don't want to give their full name because sometimes people are crazy, but we have a pastor up in Washington. And I use that term pastor loosely. If I was writing, I'd put quotations around the word pastor, who said something pretty outrageous to his congregation and has gone viral for it. And I'm going to play that for you now.
Will you all help me ask this question? 86-year-old, Jesus. Help me ask this question simply. What if, can you say what if with me? What if God worships me? Can you say that with me? What if God worships me? Now, you don't have to say it if you feel uncomfortable, because it can feel a little uncomfortable, right? Especially when we don't really understand and live into who God has called us to be and what God is to us and has called us to be to God. But today, if you will humor me, I would like to speak with you, not about universal truth, but about a truth that has helped me center myself in the divine love of God.
So as you heard, he asked the question, what if God worships me? And I just saw this and I was just floored that first and foremost, the lack of fear of the Lord in the church is mind-boggling. The lack of fear of the Lord in our culture is mind-boggling. There was a time in this country where nobody would dare to even ask that. And if they did ask that, that was in their heart, they would not even utter that. But another thing that is disturbing is that there is a congregation in this church. There is a group of people that attend this church and who subscribe to this doctrine. So there's a few reasons why I believe that this is happening. One, it's happening because the church has allowed it to happen. I'm a firm believer that culture is a reflection on what the church is doing and what the church is not doing. And the fact that there is a church that is not just one guy, not just two guys getting together and coming up with and listening to the doctrine of devils, because that's what that is. It's not just a small group. This is a congregation of people who have come together and they agree with this doctrine that this man is speaking. That's indicative of lack of fear of the Lord. That's indicative of lack of biblical teaching. That's indicative of lack of pastoring and true discipleship. I want to read two scriptures for you guys. Both are found in, one's found in 2 Timothy 3:2, and one's found in 1 Timothy 4:1. The first, and this is the ESV, for people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy. I like the New Living Translation of this, and this is 2 Timothy 3:2. For people will love only themselves and their money. They will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents, and ungrateful. They will consider nothing sacred. Moving on, we have 1 Timothy 4:1. The Spirit clearly says that in latter times, some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Such teachings come through hypocritical liars whose conscience has been seared as with hot iron. Now, I hope this man's conscience hasn't been seared. However, what I can say is that this doctrine that he is teaching is not from God. We worship God. He is higher than us. He is bigger than us. He is everything that we are not. We worship God. There is a clear hierarchy. God is above all. We're the ones who worship. John 4:24 says, for God is spirit, so those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. You won't find where God worships his creation. Not only that, but the doctrine is me-centered. At the end, he said he wants us to dive in and talk about a universal truth. I noticed that he also said a universal truth. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. There is no a truth. There is the truth, and he is the only truth. But he says that has helped me center myself in the love of God. The doctrine is me-centered. The reason why this is so damaging is that if God is worshiping us and we are the center, there's no need for salvation. Where does salvation play into this? What do I need saving from? If God is worshiping me, that would imply that I am higher than. Oftentimes when we worship, we are bowing down, we are bent over, we are making ourselves lower than whatever we are worshiping. If the opposite is true and God is worshiping us, there is no need for salvation. That means we are already what we need to be. Why choose Jesus? Why follow Jesus? What does he do for us? The reason why this is being allowed is because the church has allowed it. So what can we do? Well, we can equip disciples in our church to actually know the word. I don't know what it is. In the charismatic church right now, I think because the gifts of the Spirit have been so stifled for so long that now there's just been an influx of people who are called to be a prophet or apostle or everything but a teacher. Basically, what I'm saying is, where are the teachers? Yes, sometimes pastors carry a teaching anointing, but a lot of pastors carry the anointing of exhortation, carry the gift of encouragement. Where is the teaching happening? I've visited a fair amount of churches, and it is pretty rare, and I'm in the buckle of a Bible Belt. I'm not exactly in like Georgia or Alabama, but I'm right in the center. I can't throw a rock without hitting a church. And the churches I have visited, and across all denominations, it hasn't just been Baptist, it hasn't just been Charismatic, Methodist, whatever. The churches that I have visited, it's hard to find teaching. Not hard to find good preaching. Not hard to feel fired up after a service. But hard to find people who are digging into the word and who want to study to show themselves approved. Looking up the Greek, looking up the Hebrew, looking up the historical context. Most of us are adults. Yes, we're out of school, but school should never stop. You should always be learning something. And if you're a Christian, you should always be learning about the word of God. And why is that important? Not only does God speak through his word, and we need that. Not only is the Bible the living bread of life, our spirit man needs it to live, but it's also a protector. It protects us from doctrines of demons. So with that, I've already started preaching, so let's get on to the actual topic of today's podcast. All right, if you're still here, thank you. We're in our third section. I started preaching in the second section, but we're going to be talking about the seven gods in America. Now, this is going to be a seven-part series, or maybe a little less than that. There's a few that I think I'm going to maybe put them together, but essentially we'll be going over seven things. I was praying and asking the Lord what I should talk about in a series, because series, honestly, they be easier to record. And this is what I believe the Lord gave me. So if you don't know what the other seven are, go on to my Instagram, INO Podcast. You can look at what the seven are. But today, we're going to be talking about the God of convenience. Now, are these actual gods? I don't know. But these are things. It's a catchy title. Just stay with me. So what is convenience? Convenience is the state of being able to proceed with something with little effort or difficulty. So what are the two components? Low effort, minimal time. While convenience is not a sin, i.e. running water is more convenient than walking a distance or getting well water, it can lead to wrongful expectations. Convenience is a big thing that we love in America. We tout it. If something can be faster, if something can keep us lazier, if something can make our lives easier, we're doing it. At one point, I mean, DoorDash was unheard of. In my childhood, that wasn't even a thing. You would have to get up and go get your food. Rain, shine, sick, didn't matter. You would have to get up and go get your food. Now that DoorDash and Uber Eats has happened, I mean, some of us can't even be bothered to get up and go do that. Now, convenience is, well, convenient. It's easier. That does not mean it's always better. Even though our culture is always trying to be the most convenient and faster and better, we innately know that good things take time. Think about food that your mom makes as opposed to getting fast food. Yes, fast food will have the sensation of feeling full, but there's something about the way your mom cooks the lasagna that you love so much that just hits different. We know this innately, but sometimes because culture pushes convenience, we often will make more convenient choices. And sometimes that expectation can be put on God. So what exactly are we attacking with convenience? We are attacking low effort living. So if you have your Bibles, open them up with me to 1 Corinthians 10:31, but I'll read it anyway. This is the ESV. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. God commands us that in all that we do, do as unto him. If God is the king, anything less than our best is not becoming of a king. Galatians 6:4, and this is a paraphrase that I'm saying. This is not direct from the word, but it says basically to run in such a way as to get to the prize, not to run aimlessly. Colossians 3:23, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters. Colossians 3:17, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Once again, if he is a king, when we do not give our best, it is less than what a king deserves. This is what got Cain in trouble. Cain chose a convenient option. He chose to not give his best to God. Therefore, God reprimanded him. So I want to ask you this question. When is the last time you actually tried your best at something? Like seriously emptied the tank to complete something? When I asked myself this question, I was ashamed at the answer. I don't know when the last time it was that I tried my absolute best at something. I've gotten so used to, you know, sometimes halfway doing something, your boss says, hey, that's great. Sometimes halfway doing something gets the job done and nobody speaks up and says, hey, and challenges you and says, hey, that was not your best. I know you have more in the tank. When is the last time that you emptied the tank for God? Now, here's the thing. Sometimes our best is crappy. That's where grace comes in. There's a popular meme that says sometimes your best is, and then it goes on to describe like a sad boy, sad girl thing, like crying or lashing out or sleeping the pain away. Like sometimes that's your best. While yes, sometimes our best may look like that, and that's where grace should come in and make up the difference. Sometimes we are just not trying, if we're honest with ourselves. I personally have caught myself in fast giving up and telling God that I tried my best, when in actuality, and he knows my heart and he knows me better than I actually know myself, I didn't try my best. It got a little tough and I gave up. Again, I want to leave you with this question. Where are you spiritually or physically bowing the knee to low effort living? I mostly see a lot of this on jobs. I'm a Gen Z. I'm technically the oldest a Gen Z could be. I'm right on the cusp of a millennial. And let me tell you, millennials and Gen Z, once 5 o'clock hits, we be gone. See you later. I don't want to be here. You're getting my bare minimum. But that's not what we're called to do as Christians. We're supposed to do everything in excellence. And I get it. Sometimes I read that, especially like Joseph lived his life in excellence. And I'm like, that just seems tiring and stressful. But that's what we're called to do. We're supposed to work as unto the Lord. And that doesn't necessarily always mean professional, although you should. This is spiritual too. Are you doing your best when it comes to reading your Bible? Are you doing your best when it comes to praying? Are you pressing in to God's presence? Or the moment you don't feel him, you kind of are leaving. And I'm preaching to the choir here. The point is, we should do our best as unto the Lord, not just into our bosses, not just into the people we care about, not just into our friends or where it's convenient. We're supposed to do our best in excellence in everything that we do. And where we can't do our best, or where our best does not measure up to what's good enough, that is where grace steps in. So I want to say thank you so much for listening to the I&O podcast. And remember, and you heard it all throughout this episode, stay saved out there because things are getting crazy. Peace.